half of you weren't even sitting yet. And I felt there was an expectation. Maybe it's because y'all got an hour of sleep more. Hallelujah. Or you laid in your jammies another hour or whatever you did for another hour, right? Had second breakfast, I don't know. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for being here at church. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, tech team. Tech team, by the way, the worship sounded phenomenal today. Sounded really, really good. Greeters and ushers and kids workers. Thank you, everyone who volunteers. Thank you for all that you do. We appreciate you. It's First Open Bible. If it's your church, say, this is my church. And I love it. Amen. We love you. We love you. God loves you. Good to be in the house of God to worship. Well, the month of October was Pastor Appreciation Month, and I just wanted to say from the pulpit, I want to say thank you to everyone who sent us cards and gifts and messages, even said to our faces things of appreciation. That was absolutely wonderful. It was a great month of love and honor, and we wanted to say, my wife and I both wanted to say thank you so much. We appreciate everything that you did for us. We feel very loved. To pastors, the month of October is a lifeline. Many times you take quite a beating and you pour out and you pour out and you pour out and you don't know where else you're going to pour out and you find somewhere else and you pour out and you pour out. And October is an amazing month for us. It's just a blessing. It's just great to be with you all. And but here we are in a new month. Welcome to November. Amen. Can you believe it? November, two more months of 2020. Hold on, church, y'all can do it. 2 months? Hallelujah. Bad news, these are long months. Okay, in just 2 days, right? Where's Sherry? Yeah, what's in 2 days? Okay, we're gonna vote. I hope in 2 days you're also wearing leggings as well, praise God. 2 days. That was a joke from last week if you weren't here. Hallelujah. 2 days. We're going to vote. We may all be witnesses to the most important election we have faced in the modern era of the United States of America. It could potentially shape the DNA of who we will be forever as a nation in history. That's why I've titled this 3-week series, Jesus 2020. This morning is the last week of this series, and I've titled today's message, A Political Church. For 2 weeks straight, we've not only asked and answered the question, should Christians vote? Should they? We have also hit on how should Christians vote, and in which way should Christians vote? Before I move on, I wanted to share a message that God gave me during worship for somebody out there. By the way, Mike, the violin sounded on point on that song. That was incredible. I want to get some spoons out for a moment. Just, yee-hoo! I mean, I was just like, I don't know what's going on, but something southern in me just rising up. Hallelujah. I mean, it was amazing. It's like, I was like, whoa. I mean, it was, seriously, you got to listen back on it. It was amazing. I want to read something to you, and I believe this is a word for somebody in here today before I preach on Jesus 2020. It's found in Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read the first few verses. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. By the way, in my Bible, it is titled this, The Resurrection. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. And this is what I want to focus on right here. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the man asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?" This is a message for somebody in here today. You have been looking amongst the dead for something that is living. You have been relying, and we've heard this theme all along. That's why I was listening to the Lord when people came up to me, because I'm saying, I was testing out and asking God, should I say this now? Should I say it during worship? Should I wait? Should there be a tongue interpretation? Should there be these things? But I believe right now is a message for you, and I think it's flowing with what God is saying. He's saying this, that in your faith, have you been relying on things of this world when you should be relying in faith on things from heaven? Because you've been looking for something alive in the world, and the world is dead. Why do you keep on looking in the dead for something that is living? Where is your faith in 2020? Where is your faith in voting Jesus 2020? Where is your faith? See, a lot of times we believe that a political leader or even our president is going to save us. A lot of times, man, I'm not hard up on people who are on food stamps and need things like that. But some people rely on the government for things that God is supposed to provide. And you've been looking amongst the dead for something that is supposed to be living in you and in heaven. And you keep looking out there and you keep waiting for something alive when in fact you're looking in the wrong spots. Why did you come to something that doesn't contain anything that is living? You're looking in a tomb for something alive. This represents death. Jesus ran out of that tomb, man. He walked right out of that tomb, and he walked right into our lives, and it was at that moment, and in a few days, that's when the church was birthed. And when the church was birthed, and the Holy Spirit fell upon the world, the Spirit of God came inside of his church, and it says in God's word, the same Spirit that rose him from that dead thing is the same Spirit that lives in you that's alive today. Amen? Amen. It was almost like a golfer clap. I don't even know what to take from that. Shh. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God for the things that are living. Thank you guys for allowing me to be me, by the way. I get to preach like me, so that's great. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. They made me the pastor here at First Open Bible, so. You can email Sherry Pfeiffer this week. Please let her know what you think. Thank you. No, but seriously, there's somebody in here today that need to hear that word. You keep on going to the dead things looking for the living. Stop it. Do you need an angel that's glowing to scare you, to wake you up, or do you need God's word this morning? I pray that you need God's word this morning, and that was for you today. Wake up, quit looking for dead things to make you alive. They never will, they never have, and they never can. So keep on living with the living. Amen? Keep on relying on the living. Jesus 2020. In these last days, we are in danger of losing the freedoms we have learned to cherish. There's something that is really, really, really on my heart. I just keep on seeing it. Now, I'm a millennial, right? I'm the beginning of the millennials, born in 82. And I don't really act like what the world says a millennial should act like. I don't really think like what a millennial should think like. And I'm also from the West Coast, from Oregon. So I don't know if I left or they kicked me out. I'm not totally sure, but I don't think like what most people would think that Oregonians should think like or be like. But here's a fact, that we keep on labeling our children and we keep on labeling these generations and we keep on giving them this stigma that they're supposed to be what the world says they're supposed to be. And a lot of times it's our fault, church, because we haven't been teaching generation after generation the things of God, who they are and who they've been called to be. And we just keep on letting the public school system and we keep on letting other people tell them who they are and what is truth. And guess what? It's only our fault. And I'm really mad about that this morning. It's really, I don't know, it just hit me today. It really, really hit me. I keep seeing things, and my wife and I keep reading things on Facebook and Twitter and what's the other one? Instagram and all these things. These people that believe in God that are saying things completely against the word because they don't even read the word. They don't even know the word, but we haven't taught them the word. We haven't taught them the word, not because we're mad at them, because we love them. If we don't do something, now I'm listening, gray hairs, I'm speaking to you because I am 1/4 gray hair right now. If y'all need to see it, come close to me. I got a lot of gray hairs that are popping through. It is not highlights like I did back in the day when I thought I was part of NSYNC, but it is now gray. Gray hairs, I'm speaking to you. When you pass away, if you haven't passed something down, I'm telling you, our generation and our United States of America is in big trouble. Some big trouble. You are now holding the foundations of what God says is truth. And when you pass from this life, who's going to hold it up next? It's your job to teach. It's your job to pass down. Don't just sit behind angry. Get involved. Get involved. Speak to somebody who's younger than you. Speak the things that you've seen God do in your life. Speak, sit down and read God's word. Tell them why the things of this world are different than the things of God's word. Tell them why. Don't just show them and say, hey, this is the way you should do this. No kid wants to hear that. They want to know why. Right? Y'all remember raising kids? We got two young kids and they say why all the time. And you're just like, all the time, you're like, I don't know. Give me a second, okay? Let me think. Why? But that's the most important question is why? And here's one of the best answers you can give. Tell them why in your life. Your testimony is incredible, okay? Your testimony no one can break. Your testimony no one can get past. You tell them why that worked in your life. Tell them why the generation before you taught you this. Tell them what you learned in Sunday school. It's not very often kids have Sunday school anymore. Did you know in the United States of America, very, very often people have never even heard the name of Jesus? They don't even know who Jesus is, right? They're like, Jesus? Oh yeah, I know that guy, right? Or a swear word, you're right. You know, just a side thing, and I'm gonna get to preaching. When anybody says, Jesus Christ, I don't care who it is, right? Some people get mad at me. You've heard me say it before, sister, right? And my wife's heard me before. In a store or something, they say, oh, Jesus Christ, right? And I always go, Lord and Savior. Every time. I do it. And they're like, well, oh, I thought you're talking to him. Oh, my bad. You know. You want me to pray with you, right? Right? Let's bring him into this conversation real quick. Let's hold hands in the name of Jesus. COVID hands, 6 feet apart. Right? Spirit hands, hallelujah. Okay. Now I'm just being ridiculous. Okay. But seriously. People do not understand who Jesus is anymore, and it has a lot to do because of us, because we've been shut up in the church doors. And when we leave, we don't even do what we believe. We don't even act what we believe. We just act like the world. Well, who cares, man? If you're going to act like the world, why would they ever want Jesus? The world's way better at entertaining, right? That person even knows they want to call in on this. Somebody say entertainment? They're better at entertainment. They're better at sin. They're better at being hypocrites. Maybe not, actually. They're better at a lot of things, and we keep joining in with the world when we are set apart from the world. We're here. If you think that you are not supposed to be preaching the gospel, you're not supposed to intermingle with the world, you're not supposed to spread the light of God in a dark place, then I beg to differ. You don't even believe in pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. You believe in salvation trib. I just made that up. Salvation trip, right? In Jesus, I believe that you're my Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Come into my heart right now, and I'm a sinner, and I believe that you're a Savior, and I believe that you were raised from the dead. Right? Well, who? But that's not it. You live in the age of grace. You live in the age of the church, and the church needs to rise up, and we need to do something new, right? If we don't vote Jesus 2020, and all of a sudden our laws are passed, and our kids are learning all kinds of junk, and all this stuff is happening, it's on us. If you didn't vote Jesus 2020 in 2020 when you could have, I guarantee it, God will talk to you one day about it. Amen. That's all. I didn't even preach yet. I'm just fired up. I know this is the last hoorah before we all preach. I'm sorry, before we all vote. No, that's good. And y'all gotta preach. Right? You don't have to have a pulpit to preach. Your life better be preaching. you know, the most important thing is not the words that you say, it's the actions that you have. It's the attitude that you give, not necessarily the words that you read out of God's word. It's true. And Christians are some of the most depressing people sometimes. You're supposed to be full of joy, but you always talk about your problems. I mean, be real. No, just walking around, I'm blessed. And you're like, it's like hobbling, and your clothes are falling off, and you just got in a wreck and all this messed up. I'm blessed. You know, be real, but don't just wallow in your sorrow. We have to be different. We have to show the world something different. If we don't, then what is the point? I love the fact that we're unified this morning, that we have different colors, of different ages, of different races. We have some people in here with different first languages that are not English. We have, two different sexes in here, men and women. We have young kids. We have old kids, right? We got all kinds of people in here today, and that's what the church should look like, because that's what heaven looks like. And I'm telling you right now, with the division and the hurt and the heartache and the anger and the separation of this world, they're waiting for something that can unify them. They're waiting for something to unify them. And let me tell you, there's not one thing in the entire world that will ever unify them. I mean, not even the false prophet, right? He won't even unify them. He'll try to unify them, but he'll get rid of the Christians. But there's only one thing that unifies us, no matter what we look like, no matter where we're from, no matter what we talk like, no matter how much money is in your bank account, no matter what we face, no matter how bad 2020 was for one person or not, there's one thing. It's Jesus Christ. He unifies us. We need to be unified, a unified front in these last days. Or what we're going to see is this. We're going to lose freedoms we've cherished, like freedom of religion. You're here today, and some of you look much better than last week because you got more sleep. That's awesome. But you're here today because you believe in the freedom of religion. I have a right to go to church, right? For people that sometimes it's hard for them to get up and go to church, and they kind of like always have an excuse why they don't want to be here. Do you not know that you have the freedom to be here? There's countries all over the place that wished they could get up at 2:30 in the morning and walk 5 hours to get to a church service. Freedom of religion. We're in danger of losing freedom of speech. Freedom of the press. Yeah, we've almost already lost some of that. It's hard to even watch the news. I don't even believe half of what they say. Freedom to choose our children's education. The right to bear arms, right? Woo, woo, woo. Where's my cowboys and cowgirls? Anybody here? Yeehaw! Amen. Go Midwest. We also lived in the South in the same way. They love it. Right to bear arms. The right to be safe and protected. On and on. There's a lot of things on the docket. Our freedoms are often dictated by our leadership. And of course, we determine our leadership by educating ourselves on the issues. And then, voting. George Barna, he found in his most recent study that the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, he found out this in this study, that only 6% of Americans hold a biblical worldview. 6% of Americans hold a biblical worldview. That's a view of the world that is informed by Scripture. That is scary. But could it be because we have not been preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ? Could it be because we have removed prayer and the Bible from public buildings, government buildings, and schools? Could it be because we have voted out or even sat out and watched our Christian heritage diminish in this country? Could it be because we have chosen to not vote policies and principles that are kingdom-centered, and now we have from top to bottom an interest of humanism, Darwinism, and a worldly worldview that has been taught as truth, and it doesn't even remotely agree with anything the inspired Word of God says is truth. See, where biblical principles reign, biblical values will govern. Where biblical principles don't reign, biblical values will not govern. The church should engage in public life because God created our first parents, Adam and Eve, in his image, and he gave them what over the earth? Dominion over the earth. Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter, the very first book in the Bible, verses 27 and 28. See, those responsibilities, they currently still exist from the mandate from God, and there are many mandates that follow. In modern society, those responsibilities flow from many different institutions, including governments, families, churches, schools, businesses, unions, and civic associations. See, governance is part of our call in creation. Y'all hear me on that. Governance is part of our call in creation. It's one of the very first things that God told man to do. As Christians, we also believe that the lordship of Christ extends to not just us as individuals. See, that's the problem about being an American. Everything we're taught is about us. We are so stuck on us. It's always about us and what I believe and what I want and what I think is right, my rights, me, 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 me. Me. Guess what I'm gonna say? No, I'm actually gonna say a different word. Me, yeah, I did. Me, that's all we focus on. Me, 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 all the time. Our brains are so focused and programmed on us, it's very hard for us to even focus on anyone or anything else. And forbid that something would not agree with us that might be right. Now I'm preaching. As Christians, we also believe the lordship of Christ extends not only to us as individuals, not just me, but also society as a whole. We believe that God created the world and all of life on it is subject to him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Now through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Verse 17, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. That is my God. Is that your God? Amen. The church believes that there is not a square inch of God's creation over which he does not exercise his dominion. There's a difference between dominion and honor. That bar down there, that's sinning, you don't think that he can have dominion over that place? Now, he might not be honored. Or that strip club, or that political party, or that person, or that thing that's going on, or that crime that's happening. You don't think God oversees all? There's a one thing difference between dominion and honor. Therefore, we are all called to recognize the lordship of Christ and engage with all of society to demonstrate and live this truth. See, to restrict our political concerns to merely just our private and domestic spheres of influence, like if you're just voting for you, how selfish. It's all about me, me, me. If all you are doing and you're restricting, I love that word, restricting our political concerns to merely our private and domestic spheres of influence. That is to deny all the all-encompassing lordship of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Come on. I mean, that's a sermon right there. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The lordship of Jesus, the kingdom of God, is marked by justice, peace, forgiveness, restoration, and healing for all. Amen. We as the church are called to practice the righteous deeds of the kingdom of God everywhere and in everything we do. We need to demonstrate God's love for all by crossing racial, ethnic, economic, and domestic boundaries. Our goal in civic government should be to bless our neighbors by making good laws. Let me say that again. Our goal, our Christian goal should be this. In civic government should be to bless our neighbors by making good laws. Because when Christians do justice, it speaks loudly about God. It will also show those who are not believers that they can understand the Christian vision and how it can contribute to the common good and the health for everyone that is under it. But sadly, on average, one out of four Christians in America doesn't even vote. 25 million, say 25 million, church. Let's try it unified. 25 million. Say 25 million.
5 million.
Yay, I love it. That sounded awesome. Ooh, there's something about that. It's like, rah. Okay. 25 million registered Christians don't even vote. Here's what's crazy. 15 million Christians, American Christians, are not even registered to vote. That is ludicrous. See, this is what that means. 25 million Christians did not vote in 2016's election. We're not talking small numbers here. 20, that is literally would sway the entire election. Pfft, sweep it. 25 million Christians did not vote in 2016 election. Why? People give various reasons for not getting involved in politics. It's too corrupt. True. Okay. You had us there. Politicians are liars. It's too confusing. My vote wouldn't even matter anyway. But one reason believers seem to use most often is this. This world is not our home, and our responsibility is to bring people to Jesus, not get distracted of the affairs of the government or take sides. After all, our citizenship is in heaven. Plus, doesn't the Constitution say religion and politics shouldn't be separate? You wouldn't believe how many times I heard things like this by believers. Dr. Ben Carson said this, quote, "Separation of church and state does not mean that you must remove your faith from your public life and your voting decisions. Freedom of religion means you are free to speak about and live according to your faith without threats from the government," end quote. The man works for the government. Among the most valued freedoms for Americans is this, the freedom of religion. Here's what our Constitution states, okay? Kids who maybe don't get taught this in a very liberal public school, let me read this. This is very important. In our Constitution of America, quote, "Congress shall make no law respecting respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise therefore of, comma, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, comma, or the right of the people peacefully to assemble, comma, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, period, end quote. That is what our Constitution says. Among the most valued freedoms for Americans is the freedom of religion. State and local races are extremely important. Don't just focus on the president right now. That's important. I get it. President, vice president, that's very important. But everything under that is extremely important as well. State and local races are extremely important, and they make a big difference in our government leadership. See, there's these ongoing disputes about churches being forced to close due to coronavirus, even to this day. And they have included California's governor, Gavin Newsom. Newsom has banned church services and even in-home Bible studies while allowing thousands of protesters night after night to march together. Newsom has even deemed church non-essential. Oh, I'm preaching it. See, currently the battles for religious freedom still remain in courts today. In California, there is a church that has reached already almost $60,000 in fines for meeting together. Let me tell you something, church. Freedom of religion is on the ballot this year. If you see it right in front of you or you don't, choose whom you will vote for, not by policies and principles only, but by a worldview. If you're a Christian, first, you undoubtedly should vote. Now, you gotta crawl there. My wife and I have to go on a trip, a little mini trip to do some ministry stuff. And my wife and I, we were talking about it. We voted early, but if we couldn't have voted early and we had to vote on Tuesday and we would have missed it, we would have skipped that. There's no question we would have voted over anything. Right? No question. We would have voted. I love kids. They're so awesome. You want to know how to deal with life? You deal like life like this. That's how you deal with it. Right, 2020 hits. I mean, then all of a sudden you feel better. Kids are awesome. If you're a Christian first, you undoubtedly should vote. And when you do vote, vote to the best of your ability, godly principles. Principles that are found in the inspired word of God to advance his kingdom. And if you don't know what the word says about it, ask somebody who might be a little bit deeper, a little bit more mature in God's word, and ask them. Somebody that you know that walks with God, that talks with God, that loves God, that reads his word. If you don't know, ask somebody. Amen. We must be kingdom-minded to be politically prepared. Some say this: I don't like either candidate. They're both terrible choices. Yep, somebody just agreed. Who should I vote for? Now I'm speaking to you. I mean, you just stand up right now. I'm speaking to you. Who should I vote for? Should I even vote at all? Let me remind you that throughout Scripture, God used sinful people for his kingdom. Let me remind you of some people. There's a man named David. His name was David, and he was an adulterer, and he was a murderer. And a man after God's own heart. Rahab, a harlot, a prostitute, and God used her mightily. Samson, the original Fabio. Okay. Can't believe it's not butter. Okay. Oh, man. I have gone off. Now, for real, Samson, that guy was worldly, loved butter, and lustful. Jonah, disobedient to God, and a whole nation. Come on now. Once he was obedient, a whole nation turned back to Yahweh. And even Paul, when he was known as Saul, he was killing Christians until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he changed his name, he changed his life, he filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he went out, and thank you for most of the New Testament. Amen. The fact that God uses imperfect people should give us all hope that he can use any one of us in spite of our past and our failures. And bro, whoever said that, in spite of that, they're both terrible choices. God has his hand on somebody. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, we would love to all have a totally kind, loving, wise, respectable, flawless leader for our nation and our world. But Jesus has not returned yet. Hallelujah. What a great reminder, and an awful one. Oh. Church, is it possible? Our country has digressed over the years since the founding of our nation because godly men and women failed to fulfill their responsibilities, their God-given mandate of speaking out and standing up for truth. Is it possible that too many of us have pursued our own desires and failed to repent of our sins, failed to honor the Great Commission, failed to disciple the world, failed to teach everyone about their godly heritage, and failed to recognize the dominion of God on earth by failing to vote Jesus in the voting ballots? Church, your one vote can make all the difference. It's not only possible, it's probable. It's not only probable, it's your responsibility to God and to this country. So, Pastor, what can we do about all this now? Thank you for asking me, so I can keep preaching. There are two simple things we can do right now, we can do in 2 days, and we can do forever. Number one is this: pray consistently for all of those in authority. I want to say this. I thank you for praying for me. I have many of you come up and pray for me and tell me that you pray for me and my family and all that we're going through and the big target that's on our back and that Pastor, you know, you're preaching from the pulpit truth and I know there's got to be the enemy's mad at it, and he is mad about it, for real. And I appreciate those prayers. I appreciate that you recognize that I'm the spiritual leader in authority as your shepherd. But have you been praying for the mayor? Well, I don't agree with the mayor. Well, you probably don't always agree with me either, but you pray for me. Have you prayed for the president? Well, I don't like the president. That guy's got to get off Twitter. Yeah, truth. Truth. Hand it to that blonde girl that speaks for you. She's much better at speaking sometimes. Just hand it to her. Here's my phone. I'm on timeout. Just do it, please. But do you pray for him? Could you pray for me? Do you pray for anyone that you don't agree with in authority over you? You pray for the police department, the fire department, EMTs, school board. That's good right there. Whoever said that, that's prophetic. Do you pray for the school board, the public school board? I'm gonna prophesy this. I'm prophesying that in Cedar Rapids, we're gonna get a Christian to step up in authority of the school board, and I'm gonna speak that out. I pray that there's gonna be a strong Christian that stands up for values and starts doing things and moving things that we couldn't do in a position that they can do for our children. And there's gonna be a move of God through our children. God made that be. Speak to things as not they are. Speak to things as they could be or should be or God wants them to be. That in essence is prophecy. What was I saying? Amen. Two things. Amen. Number one. Thank you. Number one. I haven't gone very far on these two things. Holy cow. Pray consistently for all of those in authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Somebody got to write this down. This will change your life. Ask God to help them. Intercede. What does that mean? You step in the gap. intercede. You pray for them even if they're not there. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Verse 2, pray this way for kings and all those who are in authority so we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Man, we don't have that. God's people aren't praying. Verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Savior. What does he want? Everyone to be saved. That's why you haven't been raptured. And to understand the truth. That's why you haven't been raptured. Not yet. All right. Number 2. I'm halfway there. Actively advance biblical values and select God-honoring and God-fearing leaders. Now, the thing I said, two simple things we can do right now, in 2 days, and forever. Number 2, actively advance biblical values and select God-honoring and God-fearing leaders. Exodus 18:21. I was searching this week and I found this verse and I love it. It's so good. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God right here and hate bribes. I'm gonna leave it right there. Oh. Y'all know what I'm saying. Okay. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,150 and 10. And how many corrupt things have we seen from the top to the bottom about bribes? What's something we love to say about the Bible? The Bible is alive and active. Tell me that verse is not alive right now in the American government. Right? This thing's, it's alive. Ready to eat some things. Come on. I don't know what I'm doing. Move on. When we promote biblical values and God-honoring leaders in our cities, states, and nation, all people will be blessed. And we will also see liberty preserved. So a church can live freely to evangelize, disciple, and fulfill the Great Commission. See, if something doesn't happen, church, you won't be taking up tithe just to run these things and do things that God wants to do in outreach. You'll be taking tithe to get me out of jail. That's what you'll be doing, okay? Right? I don't even have cable at home. They got cable there. So I'll watch a little cable. I'll get out. I'll preach again. I'll come back. I better start tanning because I don't look good in orange. Okay. Come on. We're laughing, but that might be reality. You're laughing because you're silly, Pastor. That's why. We need good watchmen, town criers, city officials, mayors, state representatives, governors, senators, and presidents. Plain and simple, church, we need people of integrity in positions of authority. Church, we need to fulfill our biblically defined civic duties of praying for our leaders and electing leaders who honor and fear God. And sometimes, here you go, this might free somebody, but they're not honoring God. But what do they stand for? Does that honor God? They might not even know they're honoring God. Sometimes people surround people who give godly wisdom and things happen through someone else, through someone else's prayers. We just read about it. Through someone else's wisdom and things come out of them that they don't even know. They sign things they don't even quite understand that honors God, right? That God's hand is upon them. God even used Pharaoh, who was 100% just all about him. God even used Pharaoh through things he didn't even recognize. May he put a man of God right hand next to him. He had no idea what was going to happen. We need to do these things right now. We need to do these things. We need to pray. We need to get biblically people and leaders and people who have policies and principles and worldviews that believe what we believe in positions of authority. We need to do that right now, just as much right now as we are doing things like proclaiming Jesus, his second coming, preaching salvation, and the repentance of Jesus' name. We need to do these things. It's just as important right now. As I get close to ending, as you all are starving because it feels like 106. For those who had second breakfast, good choice. Wisdom of God. No, but sometimes we got to be more hungry for God's word than we are for physical food. We can sit down and watch a movie, but we complain when church is an hour, hour and a half. But y'all watch a 2-3 hour movie. And if you like Lord of the Rings, shame on you. Extended cut, right? That's like 3 services, even Pentecostal services. Don't you complain. You want Frodo to preach? Okay. Before and during the American Revolution, American citizens were empowered by the flaming pulpits that were preaching to defend God-granted inalienable rights, biblical principles of liberty and righteousness, and freedom in the name of Jesus. Whatever you think you learned in school, the truth is, you need to search for it, is we were founded on God. Why would we put "in God we trust" on our money? Right? Because we wanted to make sure we weren't ruled by this, we were ruled by that. Like, we even reminded our money who's in charge. Because you can't be a lover of mammon and God. Now, I'm really preaching today. See, we even reminded ourselves as we pulled it out, whatever it looks like, that God is in charge of not only our country, but our money and what things happen in here. Majority of the people that signed the Declaration of Independence were people who were God-fearing people. 70-80% of them. I don't even know the exact number. Do you remember the exact number? I mean, it's way high. 80% of people who signed the Declaration of Independence loved Jesus Christ, proclaimed it, and even pastors signed it. Open that up. It's right past evolution. Whatever. This is a bunch of, That's another sermon, Pastor Harris. Another sermon. Even evolution's evolving. Okay, moving on. Before and during the American Revolution, American citizens, they were empowered by these things. Pulpits that were preaching truth. Our country was born out of standing up for and fighting for righteousness and justice and for the kingdom of God. Do you remember what the main thing why Americans rose up against the British colonies and against the Queen? All my British friends, I'm sorry. We're going to just tell it how it is. Do you remember? The major thing was this, the tyranny of Great Britain on how we can worship our God. They were trying to tell us what we can do. Walter, Virginia, where are you at? Are you in here? Walter's here. Now, he's lived in Spain for a long time, and he's preached the real gospel, the true gospel, the biblical gospel of Jesus in the streets, because the Roman Catholics would chase him down as he would run. He would grab as much as he could and ran. And whatever he didn't grab, they'd confiscate. He's told me stories about this. They did it for years and years. Stand in the street, play worship music, preach the real gospel, the true gospel, the relationship with Jesus, and stood against the religious things of that country that still reigns. That is how we were founded. That's one of the major reasons why we fought against the British in 1770 something. Well, that's when we got our freedom. It started before that. There's lots of fights before 1776 when we were free. Lots of skirmishes because they said, enough is enough. We need to stand up, church. Time to get the country back. Speak against the tyranny of all that liberal things that are happening in our country right now. Maybe you need to fight against the tyranny of your own heart, your own mind, the things that you believe. Line it up to the word of God. He will set you free. And a lot of times you can't go any, you can't take anybody where you haven't been. You can't take somebody where you haven't been, and you've been so bound for so long in your own self that you don't even know how to tell people about Jesus. You don't know how to tell people about freedom because you're not free yourself. Time to get free in the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the anointing of God. May it be upon you and in you and through you. May you keep hearing words that are truth that'll set you free. Amen? Our country was born out of standing up for and fighting for righteousness and justice and for the kingdom of God. And it was done by kingdom people like you and me. It was done in various forms and through various ways. And one of those ways it was done, once the country was established, was in the voter's booth. So since Jesus is not running for office, by the way, we wouldn't have voted for him anyway. How do I know that? History repeats itself. Who put him on the cross? The religious people. Pharisees and the Sadducees. We didn't even vote for him then. We know more now, right? The ones that are listening to the Holy Spirit, we would. We'd stand up and we'd fight. Jesus is not running for office. There's no perfect candidates. That's what that means. It is therefore our duty as registered Christian voters to identify and vote for the ones whose platforms, policies, and worldviews fight for the things that Jesus fought for. I want to bring you some good news before I close. Remember, church, no matter what, Daniel 2:20-21. Praise the name of God forever and ever. And he has all the wisdom and power. Verse 21. He controls the course of the world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. Now, will you look at me, church, as I close? Worship team, you'll come up in just a moment. I want you to hear this as well. Everyone stands. But the big question is, where will you stand? What will you stand for? And what will you vote for? Joshua 24:15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to say it one more time, church. Jesus 2020. Amen. Will you stand? Worship team, will you please come? If you're still on the fence about a lot of things and you haven't voted yet, we have voters voting guides on the information center. That's the big desk that's out there. Feel free to grab one. There's three different ones that breaks down some things. They're not sponsored by any party. They're not sponsored by any person. They're sponsored by religious and Christian organizations that have put things together, and they have, and if you don't agree with it, each one is cited exactly what they believe and what they've said in the past, each political party and person. And so if you want that, feel free to grab it on your way out. We want to get all the tools in your hands so you can do the best thing you can. And no matter what happens, no matter when I preach next Sunday and y'all come together, our God is King. He reigns on high and he's in control. I want to pray as we go out. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Most of all, God, thank you for you. I'm reminded we're all separated and divided and lost and alone. And God, I'm reminded that you sent your son Jesus laying in a manger 2,000 years ago so that way we can be reconciled back to you, that we can have relationship with you, God, that we can see you not only in us but through us and upon us. Now it feels a lot like sometimes, God, we're the remnant in Babylon. That's what it feels like. But we just sang a song about even if we don't see it and even if we don't feel it, you're still in control. Still have all things under your sovereignty, and you'll never stop. You'll never stop. God, we lift up this election to you right now. We pray for your hand to be upon it. I pray that your way will be done. I pray it be like what your son Jesus said, as it is in heaven, may it be here on earth. And hallowed be your name. We want your kingdom to come. God, I lift up every Christian in here today and anybody who hears my voice online and anybody else who may hear this in church. Feel free to share this if this blessed you and you want to bless another believer or preach to God. Maybe something in there just really spoke to you. But God, I pray for that. It extends to everyone it needs to extend to. God, that this word goes out to everyone that needs to go out, because it's not something that came from me, it's from you, God. I truly believe that you gave this word today, that you want to speak to your people at this time, at this very hour. And although it may feel like we are a remnant in Babylon, I'm reminded that, God, your people are still here today through that remnant. And I'm reminded that, God, you still did something in the remnant, that things were changed in Babylon through the remnant, that things will be changed here today. I'm reminded, God, of Jonah. One person who stood in the gap for people that didn't even understand the truth, that went on sinning, that went on broken and lost, and he stood up even if he didn't want to. Even in his own selfishness, he stood up and he did the right thing, and a whole nation came to you. God, may that be the church. May we stand up for you, God, so the people that don't even understand, who are lost in themselves, God, that they will turn from their wicked ways, that they will acknowledge you as the King, and that you would heal our land, God. Lord, I just want to speak to fear before we go. There are people fearful for who is going to get in. But we're reminded, where does our help come from? Comes from the heaven, it comes from you. I'm thankful for the government. I'm thankful for democracy. I'm thankful for the presidents that we've had, 45 presidents that we've had, and vice presidents, and the things they've walked through, and the wars that we've faced, and this isn't the only time that we've had a terrible sickness in our country that spread all over the world, that we've faced a lot of stuff and a lot of things. We've faced evil head on, and we've come together, and God, this is the greatest country that you've ever created. I'm so thankful for America. I'm thankful that we were blessed enough to be born in America. May we not take that for granted, and may we step up in the voters' booths, and may we vote you, God. May we vote Jesus 2020. May we vote your policies, your principles, your worldview, your kingdom. May it come here on earth, God. And I pray that our vote not only makes a difference, and however supernaturally you can use it, we invite you to use it. And we pray for the leaders that are above us, all of them, no matter who they are and what they stand for. If we agree with them or not, we honor them in their position. We pray for them in their position. We might not respect some of the things that they do or say, but we honor them in that position because you told us to pray for them, to honor them in those positions. You've told us to do that. And God, if we don't honor them and we don't love them like you, then maybe someday that Saul will never be a Paul. But God, we step in the gap right now. We pray for any wicked leader, anybody who doesn't have a mind of Christ, anybody who doesn't know you as Savior. We call forth their salvation. I pray for people to be around them in an area of influence, in a position of authority, that they will be able to lay hands on them, pray for them. God, give them the divine appointment that they need at that right time to lead them in the salvation message, to tell them the truth of God's word, to show them the policies and the principles and the worldview that's found in your inspired God-breathed word that you gave us, God. I pray for those people to rise up in boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit and give them authority, give them supernatural wisdom, and give them favor in these days that we live in, God, that we will see a move that we've never seen before. I pray for a revival that will take place, God, in the heavenlies and flow down to your church and throughout all of things that you have dominion over, including your government that you've placed in this position in the United States of America. God, we love you. We trust you. We believe your word is true. We believe in you, and we thank you, and we worship you. You are our God. You're our God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's worship.